Bow our heads in prayer. Lord Jesus, the journey that you took to the cross was full of betrayal and grief, torture and darkness. Yet your love for us, your people, propelled you onward. Help us this day to comprehend just how powerful that love is, that you would suffer such a cruel death to make a way for us to be with you in glory forever. What a gift, Jesus, what a gift. In his name, amen. Well, my dear brothers and sisters in Christ, it was on January 17th, the year 2004, a 66-ton sperm whale died and was beached on the southwestern coast of Taiwan. 2 weeks later, the authorities decided that they were going to truck that dead whale to a laboratory where they could do an autopsy. It took 50 men and 3 lifting cranes, 13 hours to hoist that whale onto a flatbed trailer. People poured into the streets of a local city to watch the spectacle of the whale carcass being driven through their downtown. And then something terrible happened. A truck crawled through that city with crowds looking on. And what did the whale decide to do? Maybe he didn't make that decision, but he did explode. And that's right. The insides of that whale splattered over everywhere. Cars, trucks, people, the local shops. Traffic came to a standstill for hours while they cleaned up the mess. The smell was almost unbearable. And I'll bet you no one saw that coming. Well, that reminds me of life sometimes. We're going about our business, and suddenly, what happens? A whale explodes. We're left hurt, we're left confused, with lots of questions that begin with the word, why? Why did she leave me? Why did he have to die so young? Why did we lose so much money? Why does our daughter continue to cause us such pain? Why? 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 Well, today we're going to continue our sermon series called Witnesses to Christ, and today we come to John chapter 18, and we meet a man by the name of Malchus. Now, it was interesting for me to find this out, and maybe you guys knew this ahead of time, but all 4 of the Gospels record this event in Gethsemane when the servant's ear is cut off. But it is only in the Gospel of John that the names are mentioned that were involved in this incident, and they were Peter and Malchus. Also unique with John is that Jesus isn't arrested. He gives himself up to the authorities. He's able to thwart that arrest by his divine great power that he has, yet he allows himself to be arrested, tied up, and taken away. And the soldiers were there. They were on a hunt. They were on a hunt for a fleeing peasant from Galilee. And what a shock it was for them to meet Jesus, the God-man with all that authority. And so it was in the Garden of Gethsemane that Malchus was pretty much going about his own business. After all, he was a spokesperson for the high priest. And before he knows it, it was as though a whale had exploded. Well, what happened? Suddenly, his right ear is cut off by a fisherman from Galilee. I bet no one saw that coming either. And so the crowd gathers. John 18, verses 2 and 3 says this, Judas, his betrayer, knew the place because Jesus and his disciples went there often. So Judas led the way to the garden, and the Roman soldiers and the police sent by the high priest and the Pharisees followed. They arrived there with lanterns and torches and, of course, swords. Roman soldiers are also going to be involved, And they come into the picture the very next day when they mock Jesus, make fun of him, they flog him, and they crucify him. And the crowd that collects there is a crowd of Romans who are controlled by the country. The chief priests who controlled the temple, and the Pharisees who controlled the religion. This would be like the Supreme Court and the Congress sending the FBI to arrest Jesus. Who is leading this Jewish posse with so much firepower and muscle? Well, it is Judas. And what is Judas up to? Betrayal. Every time we celebrate Holy Communion, we hear those words. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night on which he was, what? Betrayed. This is that night. And so the chaos begins. In John 18, verse 10, it says, "Just then Simon Peter, who was carrying a sword, pulled it from his sheath, and he struck the chief priest's servant, cutting off his right ear." Malchus was the servant's name. It was Peter who cut off Malchus's right ear. The crowd gathers, the chaos commences. For Malchus, this is when the wail exploded. But we know that Jesus, in his power, in his care and comfort, he is going to heal Malchus. It's not mentioned in this particular passage, but it is in others. Well, what about messes that come up in our own lives? Are we doing anything we can to survive? Have we consulted with a bank recently? Have we changed our diet? Have we called an attorney? Have we tightened our budget due to inflation? Have we gone into counseling or rehab or maybe therapy? Don't give up. Don't ever give up. Why? The control is clear. Whose control? In our story today, we see Christ's control. It was very clear. Judas, the Jews, and the Romans appear to be running things, but the key word here is appear, for Christ is really the one who is in control of this whole situation. Well, how can that be? Again, we're reminded in chapter 18, the fourth verse, Jesus, knowing by now everything that was coming down on him, went out and he met them. Who's in control? It's Jesus. The enemies come, but what does Christ do? He doesn't wait and cower and hide. He goes out to meet them. And when Judas approaches, Christ does not run either. When Peter strikes Malchus, Christ commands Peter to do something, and that was to put away his sword. Then Jesus said, "No one takes my life from me. I lay it down of my own free will." We see the powers of darkness rising against Jesus in this event, full throttle. But Christ is in control. Matthew's gospel tells us that at this point, Jesus could ask his Father for more than 12 legions of angels. In Matthew, Jesus is quoted again in chapter 26. "Don't you realize that I am able right now to call to my Father and 12 legions, more if I want them, of fighting angels would be here, battle ready." 12 legions of angels. Sophia, I'm going to ask you to solve this math problem. We have 12 legions. Each legion has 6,000 Roman soldiers. This is how it was measured. So how many angels would that be? 6 times 12,000. That is absolutely correct. 72,000. You must have an excellent math teacher. 72,000 angels. Why would Jesus need 72,000 angels? And he doesn't. Why? Because he is in complete control of this situation. During World War II, psychologists compared ground troops with fighter pilots. I know we have some gentlemen in here who served in World War II, and they were probably soldiers that fought on the ground. I don't know if there are any pilots here or not, but this is an interesting thing that came out of this. They determined that after 60 days of continuous combat, the anxiety of ground troops was off the charts. After 60 days, though, of an astounding 93% of fighter pilots were happy and at peace. Well, why was that? Well, when you think about a fighter pilot, they have control. They have control of that plane. They have their hands on the throttle. But when you think about ground troops, they felt lonely. They were helpless. They could just as easily be killed standing still, running towards the enemy, or running away from the enemy. So what's the point? Well, popular wisdom tells us, always seek control. We don't need a war to prove it. All we need is a backup on the interstate highway. A team of German researchers recently found that a traffic jam triples our chances of having a heart attack. That makes sense. That's why popular wisdom tells us always seek control. So, what is our plan when the whale explodes? Follow the popular wisdom. Always seek control. Never board an airplane without a parachute. Never leave the house without a gas mask. Never step on a crack that lets you break your mother's back. That's it. We face every exploding whale by taking control. But there's a problem. And there's a problem with that. It does not work. Would you like something that does work? I'm here to tell you this morning, rather than seek control, let's relinquish our control. Give it all up. Resign as the CEO of the universe. You cannot control everything. So what are we to do? Give that mess to our Lord Jesus Christ. For Christ's control is very clear. He was very calm. And when people around us are calm, that can be very contagious. Why is Christ calm? Well, because he trusts in the scriptures. In the Peanuts comic strip, Lucy, not this Lucy, but Lucy, the cartoon character, she's struggling with her Sunday school memory verse. And finally, she suggests that maybe it's a verse from the book of reevaluations. The book of reevaluations. The scriptures I would share with you this morning are a book of reevaluations. They help us reevaluate who really is in control. John 1, verse 29 tells us, the very next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him, and he yelled out, "He is here, God's Passover lamb. He forgives the sins of the world." Christ is in control. What is he in control of? He's in control of our sin, and he takes it all away. John 4, 14, "Anyone who drinks the water that I give will never thirst." Not ever. Our Lord Jesus is in control of our aching thirst. He quenches it with his unconditional love. John 8, 12, Jesus once again addressed them, "I am the world's light. No one who follows me stumbles around in darkness. I provide plenty of light to live in." Christ is in control of darkness. He is the light of the world. Many of you, I'm sure, as your children were growing up, there might have been time when you sent them to camp, right? And usually when you do that, we have to sign a form that asks important questions, like, who is responsible party? What if little Johnny breaks his arm at camp? Who's the responsible party? What if somebody comes down with measles? Who is the responsible party? And so parents, we sign those little slips. Well, reminds me that Christ did exactly the same thing for us. He signed his name for us, and he wrote it in his own blood. When we were baptized, Jesus took full responsibility for us. When the whale explodes, Jesus is the responsible party, not us. It is his job, and he sees us through it. Christ is the good shepherd. He and we are the sheep. He is the bridegroom. We are the bride. Christ is the rabbi, and we are the disciples. Our hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. Well, as we gather here this morning, one of three things is happening in our lives right now. We're either heading for a mess, or we are in a mess right now, or we just went through a mess. No matter what, we don't have to become hopeless or anxious or even faithless. We can stay calm. And the reason for that is, when that whale explodes, Jesus delivers perfect peace. He did that for Malchus in our story for today. He reaches out his hand. He heals us just as he healed Malchus. Then just ask a man. And if you don't believe that, just ask that man, Malchus. So in the message for today, we learn that our Lord Jesus does take charge, and that he powerfully confronts those who have come to arrest him in the garden, even while he voluntarily accepts the suffering that lies before him. It was our Lord Jesus who suffered, and he died not as a martyr for a noble cause, but as the Savior whose sacrifice atoned for each and every one of our sins. And so this day is my prayer for us who have gathered here this morning, that we give our thanks to our Lord Jesus. He is our Redeemer, and we are counted among his own. And for that, we praise him. We praise him that he died not only for our sins, but for the sins of all people. And it is his holy, precious name that we thank and praise him for that this day. Amen. Well, we're going to continue now, I think, with the Magnificat, and Angela's here to help us. As I understand it, we're all singing this. The words will be up on the screen, and then following that, our offerings will be brought forward.